Begin the current daf in Mesech the Shabbos daf Yitzayin. Begin the Amud Beis. Begin the taste of your mouth. So begins the words of the Gemara. Kiven the Efshel Lemevet Kishmul. Since it's possible to do like Shmul, so Mehemni. So therefore they're trustworthy. It's tough to explain. Well, why didn't they make the Gzer of Gedula Truma B'Truma? Because of the concern they might hold on to Truma themselves by Truma's Meiser. With this not applicable, the reasoning of Shmuel. That is, the Gemara brought one of the 18 Gezeres was Gedula Trumas Truma, and what's the reason? So the first interpretation of the Gemara was, it goes to Truma Terbi Ad Yisrael, where he's going to hold on to, he's not going to want to give it to the Kohen, and therefore he's going to rather plant it, and then it becomes like Chulin, and therefore to prevent that, we say that no, it's going to retain its status even after he plants it. Which the Gemara asked in that interpretation, well, if that's the case, what do you mean if you don't consider him as trustworthy to give it to the Kohen, then he doesn't have to go out and separate in the first place. He could do like Shmuel, which is one kernel could exempt. Obviously, from the fact that he did separate a whole bunch and now he's planting it, that cannot be the reason because we don't trust him, because if he didn't want to give it, he didn't have to separate it all. Now, on that question of the Gemara, Hiksha Riva, the Riva asks, wait a second. Trumas Meiser, there's more than one type of Truma. There's Truma Gedolah that every Yisrael has to give to the Kohen. Yeah, that halachically you can fulfill even with one kernel. But Trumas Meiser, which is the tithe that the Levi gets, he has to give one tenth of that to the Kohen. Deloy Efshel Lemevet Kishmul, that you can't do like Shmuel. That's not enough with one kernel. That you have to give exactly a tenth. So Ligs are there. The reasoning would be applicable to say that because you might come to plan to get out of giving to the Kohen. So why is that a rejection of the first interpretation? So, Teretz Rida re-explains, they become welcome because in spite of that, Emes Husha Gazru Afal Geduli Truma Gedalika. The truth is that the Gzeir wasn't only on Truma's Meiser, it was also on Truma Gedalika. For Reitz Lefarish Tamakuma, he wanted to give a reasoning that explains all of them, which, yeah, although it would explain my Truma's Meiser, but it wouldn't explain Truma Gedalika, and therefore he gave a different interpretation. Omar Ramam, he gives a second interpretation. He says that the reason why they did not make a Gzeira specifically on Truma's by Trumas Meiser, that because we said that then he might come to plant those growths, and why can we say it was on Trumas Meiser that to resolve the first interpretation regarding that that you have to give a tenth to the Kohen, is because he says the Trumas Meiser, who has that? That's the Levim. They have to give a tenth to the Kohen. Mehem niha Levim, the Levim that have that Meiser, that to give a tenth of that of Trumas Meiser to the Kohen, they're trustworthy because they know some Meiser l'chaverim. The halacha is you only give the Meiser. Every Jew, every Yisrael has Truma. But by Trumas Meiser, that is given to Levim. We only give it to trustworthy Levim. And therefore, we cannot say that that was the reasoning in that case of Trumas Meiser because actually they are not suspect. And you cannot say that was the reason given for the case of Trumas Meiser. Or of Riva Teretz, he explains, he says that the reason why we can't say that the Gezer Geduli Truma of Truma was by Truma's Meiser, as we said, because maybe that the Levim are going to go ahead and plant to prevent from giving their tenth to the Kohen, is because the Eisen Shrei Chashudim, because actually those that were suspect, meaning those that didn't keep the laws of the Levim, Lohari Mafrish and Klau, they actually wouldn't separate Truma's Meiser at all. So this is an answer the other way around. Either the previous answer was saying that no, they're not suspect, therefore they're for sure going to give it. This answer is saying to the contrary, if they are suspect, then they're not separating at all. Because I mean, b'saita, like the Gemara says in Saita, the chavim shem b'frishon, and those who are trustworthy, they do separate, namely they are trustworthy to give it to the Kohen, therefore they wouldn't hold it on to themselves, and therefore either way you look at it, we're not going to say that they separated, but they're going to plant it to give it up, because either they're not separating, or and if they are separating, they're for sure giving it. So therefore those are three different approaches why we couldn't have said that to resolve the first interpretation, that it's talking about Trumas Meiser and not just by Truma Gedolah. Turn next to the Masal Tez, begins with the words of the Gemara, Dilma Mashal Legabe. So the concern is maybe he's going to hold on to it. But also, Bay Ledei Takon is going to come to stumbling block for that coin. Tez comes to explain, do we say that this Geduli Truma that's Tomei, when you plant it, is it going to be like Truma Tomeya, the way Rashi seems to say it, or like Truma Tahira? And additionally, when are we concerned for stumbling, as our Gemara seems to indicate, and when not? That is, the Gemara brought that, so what is the real reason of Geduli Trumas Ketruma? It's a gezer because the Kohen is going to have Truma, and it might be Tameh, and he's not allowed to eat it. He's only allowed to use it, like, to burn for fuel. And what a waste of produce. So he's going to come up planted, and then it's going to come that it's going to be permitted. So, therefore, to prevent that, because he's going to be holding on to it for a long time, till the time when he can plant it, he might come to eat it and stumble on it. So then we said, no, it's not going to help the planting anyway. So he's not going to come to that problem, because he's not going to hold on to it. So, Pesh B'Kunj Rashi explains, L'kach Gazur, therefore they made this Gezerah, meaning that what? What was the Gezerah? Dafili Yisrael, even if you plant it, David Tamei, that, well, no, this Truma Tamei will retain the status of Tumah. And then you're not going to gain anything, and therefore, that was the Gezerah. But B'Kashlari, the Reed's bothered by this interpretation of Rashi, because the Amma Behedim Perikol Shah, the Gemara explicitly in Pesachim Nav Lamadal Madalf. Shesilei Truma Tameya, the saplings of Truma that was Tameh, that was planted, Tahayr Militameh, it actually becomes purified from its Tameh. Now, Vasur Malecha, but it's forbidden to be eaten, perish. What does that mean? Lezarim. The Zarim are not allowed to eat it because Nachulin is still going to be considered Truma, but it's not going to be Tameh anymore. Because you planted it, it nullified the status of Tameh. And the Farash doesn't like the Gemara explains over there. But one thing says, Tezamo, you see, Lekan Mishari, the Fakan, it is permitted. How could Rashi say that the Geduli Truma of Tameh is going to retain its Truma Tameh, and it's going to be forbidden to eat even the Kan? And when we see that's not going to be Tameh anymore, yeah, it'll retain the status as Truma for it to be forbidden for the Zarim. But the Kan, it's not going to be considered Tameh and forbidden anymore. So Yishlem Tezah says, what you could say to explain the Gemara is that, Kivin the Ein Achalim Lazarim, you're right, the Kan could eat it. But since non-Kanim cannot eat it, so Mishim Revach Purta, so for that little gain, Shemit Taharan, where they're purifying the Truma, Le'mashi Gabei, that is not going to hold on to it. Meaning to say, anyways, Truma doesn't have such a high value. So the Kain could use Truma that's Tar Tame, Truma Tar that he could eat, Tame he could use as fuel. So if he was able to make it totally non-Truma by planting it, so that would be a great gain because he could sell it as at market value, which has a larger market, has a greater supply. So, but therefore, here where it's only going to be permitted that it's going to be permitted to be eaten, that he's not going to hold on to it until the next planting season. And therefore, yes, so you're right, it is going to take away its tumah status, not the way Rashi said, but that itself, that it's going to be forbidden for the Zarm, as we see in the Gemara in Pesachim, that's what our Gemara is saying over here. He's not going to hold on to it anymore, and there is not going to come to stumbling block because he's not going to hold on to it to plant it. Now, another question Taisa addresses, in our sugya, yeah, it's obvious we're concerned for this stumbling block, that if he's going to hold on to it, he might come to consume it when it's Truma that's Tameh, and therefore we say, no, you can't hold, you can't plant, it's not going to help to permit it, whether like Rashi says for the Kanim or Tosis says for the Zarim, and therefore you're not going to come to the stumbling block. But a B'Saiv Perek, the B'Sachim, B'Saiv Perek, comment the B'Sachim, the end of the first Perek, B'Sachim, the Chav Mabez, Army Beis Hill says, regarding a barrel of wine of Truma that became Tameh, Tasa Zilof, what you do with that barrel of wine is that you could use a sprinkling on the ground, which settles the dust and gives a good smell, and that takes a long time to use up that barrel. Which we see that Basil is not concerned for delaying and holding on to it, you might come to drink it. You see, Nachash Ledegal, Agamar seems to say yes. Zekel Mamer says, what you could say is, the Hacha Moid Basil, in our Sugi, Basil would agree. Why? The Ba'am Zhatarach Lahasha Shonish Tleimad Zmanzriya. Although, let's say Zilov takes some time, but it could maybe take a week or whatever it is. In our case, you might have to hold on to it a whole year until the time for the planting comes. It comes once a year. And therefore, there, Beis Hillel would agree that such a long time of delay might cause a stumbling block in contrast to the Zilov, which is not necessarily as long. There, Beis Hillel did not hold that we're concerned for a Takala. The next text of Maslet begins the words of the Gemara, Alpitan v'shamnan, regarding the bread and the oil of the non-Jews, are forbidden Mishum Yayin because of their wine. Shteis can explain why is Yayin more severe than Shemen and Pas. That is, the Gemara brought that really Shemen is not more severe than Pas. They're both forbidden because of their wine. Because that we don't want you to drink from the non-Jews' wine. Zeikshu Riva, the Riva asks, so then Maishna Sheikh Mir Tvei B'Yayin, why were they more stringent of wine, less about not to say that it's forbidden to have benefit from it, be Pas v'Shemen more than their bread and the oil? Why is that more severe? So Maturitz explains, Mishay Yayin, Misameich Lekim Anashim. Wine is something that makes God and people happy, which we use it in our service of a deity. No, I mean we use it in the service of God, and they use it avodah zarah lahavdil. V'hayu regilin naschef for the shleibiv ne'avodah zarah, and they were accustomed to pouring libations of their wine, even not in front of their idol. Hayil v'hutzuchu lesser mishum ne'sin. So therefore, since the chacham had to make the wine forbidden because we didn't want them to fraternize with the non-Jews, which social drinking could bring them to have relationships with the non-Jews' daughters. So nasnu bechacham din v'chaymi yain nesamav. So therefore, the sages gave to the wine a halacha and astringency, literally like wine of libations, which is forbidden even to have benefit from. Even the pa'amim hoyim naschan aisav filter shel b'vnei by dessert. Since anyway, sometimes they would pour libations for their idol, not even in front of the idol. So therefore, they gave it. First of all, it's more stringent than the bread and the oil because wine is a significant thing. Let's mesameich lekim anoshim. More of it's even forbidden benefit like yain nesach because actually they would sometimes use it in that service, and therefore when they made it forbidden because of b'neisayim, they gave it this more elevated stringent status of being usher even b'hanma. Continue next test of Maslow says begins the words of the Gemara Hanich l'Remeir. This is good according to Remeir that we're gonna have the 18 things. Rabbi Yisi Shibstra have in the Kodesh. Rabbi Yisi, we only have 17, which Tosfos comes to explain actually the number of the 18 things that the Gemara had asked. Okay, according to Remeir that considers the case of forgetting the vessels beneath the gutter, that's considered Mayim Shuvim, that's one of the 18, but Rabbi Yisi does not hold that was, that would be still agreed to be Shammai. Where do you have the number 18? You only have 17. Taisa explains that Havamatsu Namalamemim, the question the Gemara asked that on Rabbi only have 17, the Gemara also asked El Rabbi Tarfon, according to Rabbi Tarfon that the Gemara quoted on Daf Tezayim Beis, that he says that all movable items that to convey Tumah with Ovim Ardea. He held that that was a mistake in Allah, it's not one of the 18 things. According to him also, the Gemara could have also asked Michael Lemim, what are you going to say? It's the same question that you could have asked on either one of them. And then the Gemara answers that we have an 18th one, like we said in our sugya, regarding the non-Jewish boy, that we treat him like as a Zav. Now, Taisa says, Rashi counts, what are the 18? Because he counts Ein Poilin, not to de-louse a garment, to check for lice. Vein Kari, not to read from a sefer, which both of them are Lo'er Haner, as we said in the previous Zav. But Tarati counts them as two different distinct halachas, even though they're both just because you might come to tilt the lamp. And V'chei Mashma, so it actually sounds like this. Midiktan Mibraisa, from the fact that we learned the Braisa previously, that says Elu min ha-halachas, these are from the halachas in the plural. But look at the Mibraisa, Elohan Tarti, the only things mentioned in the Braisa are these two, obviously from the fact that in the plural, is that these are two distinct halachas regarding the Xeris of the Yutchas Dava. Now, then Sataisa says, but the Melhod de Lechashim, then why are we not counting Mavchin bin Bigda le Bigda Ishtay, which Agamara says, if he's going to try to differentiate to the light of the lamp, between his garment and his wife's garment, or b'shamash habayit the kaisis of a car's lara, and there, or the waiter that's checking the cups or the plates to light a lamp, which are all the same concerns. If we're counting delousing and reading, why do we count those also as distinct gezeres? Says Taisus hanach nafku machlal hanitarti, because these other ones are included in those two sheinikim, with those are the primary gezeres, and these are all included and subsumed under them too, and therefore they're not counted as distinct gezeres. But Miu Kasha, however, Taisus is bothered by the following question. Kedoleimani Rashi in this number of 18, it does not count Hach Doleyachal Azav Mazava, with the one of that Azav should not be eating with a Zava, because it might bring to intimacy, which is a Chiyav Misa. The Vadim Yotchas Davahav, which says most definitely that is one of the 18, because the Tanu Lama B'Masnim had this explicitly learned in the Aluch of the Mishnah. When it mentions the case of the Mishnah, it mentions then also Izava Dezava. So why is that not one of the 18? So Taisa says, you're right, if that's one of the 18, so you have to change the count of Rashi. Well, the Fizeh comes out that Eich Rishon Eich Sheni, a person that eats a food item that's a Rishon L'tama or that's a Shein L'tama, the Chad HaChashav Yeshua considers that in both cases we mentioned in the beginning of this sugya, that the person can become a Sheni in either one of those cases, that he counts it as one thing because it's both the same thing. He's eating a Rishon or a Sheni, he's becoming a Sheni. You have to say a different answer would be the halacha of a person that became tummy, that then he subsequently went and he immersed himself in the tub of drawn water with his head in the majority of his body, and retarshan of lubuchulu, and also the subsequent gezerah. Of a tar person that fell on his head three lugin of mayim shuvim, chashav chada, they're considered as one gezerah. Shemdi ilayha, as the Gemara says, because if you don't have the one of tar, like kamaho, you don't have the one of the tvul yaim, and therefore we consider them really as one gezerah. As we find, kihechad the pit the masham the beginning the same, just like we find that the bread and the oil and the wine and the daughters of the non-Jews, chashav gezerah achas, considered one gezerah. Here also the tar and the tameh of the mayim shuvim would also be considered as one gezerah. Now, but then Taisa says, vahid de lo yechal zav parsham zav ma'arz, then this other halacha, that the pious zav should not be eating with the ignoramus zav. The Ketani Allah, but this after which we learn in the Braisa, that elum and halachas, these are from the halachas of the Yutchas Dava, I would not count that one. So it says Taisa Kalim, yet what you could say is, that it would be included, which Taisa says is one of the 18, because he took out one of those that Rashi says and put it together with a different one, that not the Zav should not be eating with the Zava, that's the same thing that the Zav Parish should not be eating with the Zav Amaaretz. Continuing next Taisa, their master says, begins with the words of the Gemara of Al-Bnei Seim, and we made it forbidden to be secluded with their daughters, Mishum Dava'acha, because of something else. Taisa comes to explain, regarding the one that holds Gzer on their daughters, is that they should be considered as Nidus Marisasan. How does it apply Gzer to Avay Dezar? That is, the Gemara brought that the Gzer on their daughters was because of Dava'acha, meaning which is for idolatry, because it might come to bring the Jewish man to do Avay Dezar. So it says, "V'im temi v'igin to say ha'nichel mandam." This is very well according to the one that says the mefarish perik based on the second bit. Zari explains in the second perik in the second bit. Zari definitely mevavim beis that when they say him gozu yichid. Yeah, regarding the daughters of the Jewish men, it wasn't talking about regarding intimacy because that's it's a deraisa. It was talking about regarding being secluded with them. That makes sense. That why we would say that that's forbidden because of idolatry. Because the sheikh lemigzim mishum avay dezar, that's applicable if you're secluded with them and they're going to try to. You try to solicit, they're going to say, well, only if you do my Avodah Zarah. So that would make sense. But Elman Dam, according to the one that says, Dabba Nisim, what does it mean that they're Ben Nisim? It means Gazru Nidus that they made, that their daughters are considered as menstrual women. What does that making them as Nidus have to do with a concern of Avodah Zarah? Where does that come in? So what you could say is, it means to say like this, it means to say by making a decree on the Jewish daughters, on the non-Jewish daughters, as if they're menstruating women, then they'll stay away from touching them, because they don't want to become tameh. But they're not going to become intermingled with them so much, and then they're not going to become drawn after them and start socializing with them and to do avodah zarah. And therefore, yes, it is applicable. It's not directly from nidus marasas and avodah zarah, but it means to say if they're nidus, then they're going to stay away from them, and they're not going to come to do their avodah zarah. So therefore, according to both interpretations, the mishum dava acher is because of avodah zarah. Next, Taisdim Masel. This begins the words of the Gemara of Unan regarding the bundles of flax, which is going to explain that the putting on the flax into the oven is because it whitens the flax, which the Mishnah taught Beis Shammai, which is Hol Machlekes Beis Shammai. So we're going to do things in Erev Shabbos, but these are forbidden malachas. The question is, but could you start on Erev Shabbos and then the Kalim do continue on Shabbos? One of them was, Beis Shammai says, you're not putting the bundle of flax into the oven only if it got heated up from before Shabbos. So Pesach B'Kodesh, Rashi explains that Nisn and Betaner, what they would do is they would put into the oven, Umislabin, and the flax would whiten. And that's the Issa of Malabin, of whitening something. Chemashma B'Perek Beis, so to say, it sounds like this from the second paragraph of Chob Zayman Beis, because Damrin the Gemara says, Unun Shal Pishtan, the bundles of flax become tame with negoyim mishis labnu, when they become whitened in the oven. You see that when you put it in the oven, it becomes whitened, and that's the malacha of malaban that Beis Shammai is saying is forbidden, even if you start on Erev Shabbos. Then the next taste of Masel, that begins the word of the Gemara, in person mitzudeis v'chulu, you're not allowed to spread out nets, etc. Which says, can explain the reason why Beis Shammai makes a gzeira on spreading out nets on Erev Shabbos, where he says you're not spread on nets for animals, birds, fish, unless if you could trap it from before Shabbos, which Beis Hillel disagrees and says permitted. Now it says Taisus Avagav the Shabbos Nami, even on Shabbos, in Pires Mitzudev, someone spreads out a net, in a chev, chata is not liable for chata sheni de and miyotzudim lav, because it doesn't know if it's going to trap or not. So therefore, why, since he didn't do an act of trapping himself, so then why would he be geyser that you can't do this on Erev Shabbos? If, as is obvious from all the cases in the Mishnah, it's only if one would be chayav achatas, because if not, it's like a gzera l'gzera. So it says in Mikamak, however, still gazru lifres mitzuda, they made the gzera of spreading out a net, because the ba'amim also the chayav achatas. At times it could come to a chayav achatas. How so? You didn't do an active trapping yourself, it just got trapped after you put out the net. No. Kagoyin shabashas priyasasa yilkud, because let's say if you did on Shabbos. At the moment you're spreading out the net, then the animal gets trapped. As we learned in the Tesefta, if someone's spreading out a net, a trap for an animal or a bird, and at that moment the animal comes in, so your action of spreading it out caught the animal, so therefore, since there is a case, you can be, therefore, Beis Shammai said that it's forbidden to be done even on the Erev Shabbos. The next text of the Masech begins the words of the Mishnah, only if they could be trapped from before Shabbos. How could you assess that? The amount of time that it can be trapped from before Shabbos, and that it's not going to be trapping it also on Shabbos, which Shammai says you can only spread out the net if it could be trapped from before Shabbos. Says Tzivim Tem, if you're going to say, how does someone know when the wild animal is going to come that you're going to value it to say if it's going to be trapped from before Shabbos? Shammai tells us what you could say is the Bishami Mukila, and the Yishami they explain the spreading out nets in the forest. The Mitsun Shabchiyusa, where there's a lot of animals around. So then he knows how much time it takes to trap the animal, because unlike generally you don't know, here you could know how long it generally takes to trap an animal. Now, more of it says Taisis, Umay bin Yizeh, it's talking about a situation, Shalayucha Luka bin Mitsude Ela Alava Beis. It has to be talking about where the trap is not big enough, and most could capture a maximum of one or two animals. Because the Hamamoyel Shayatayim Bayim, because let's say it could capture as many animals as it could, then what does it help that it could trap from before Shabbos? But it could also trap from when the Shabbos. As we'll see, it was seen in the Gemara that one of the interpretations, let's say, is that it's like Shvisa's Kalim. Even if it could capture from before Shabbos, but if it could capture also after Shabbos, then once Shabbos starts, it's not going to help. It has to be that it could only capture, let's say, one or two, and you know it's going to happen from before Shabbos, because in the forest, it's going to happen in moments, one, two, and therefore that's where Beis Shammai is saying, B'chnei Sheitzoides can be permitted to start on Shabbos. Continue the next Tosef Maaser says, begin with the words of the Mishnah, Ein Moichim L'Nachri, you're not allowed to sell to a non-Jew, which Tosef comes to explain the reason that Bishami made Gzera, that you're not allowed to sell to a non-Jew something on Erev Shabbos, only if he could reach to a Mokum Kar, which is that he could get there before Shabbos, and he won't have to carry his load on Shabbos. So he says, Avagav di avalu b'Shabbos. Even if, let's say, the non-Jew did this on Shabbos, le'me chayev chatos, the Jew's not going to be chayev chatos because he didn't do a malach himself. So why is B'Shabbos making zera of selling this to a non-Jew in the Arab Shabbos? Only if he gets to Tamakum Karev, as we explained, all the halach of the Mishnah have to be things that if you did on Shabbos, to be chayev chatos. Still says, since the non-Jew would be going after the animal, which is one of the cases, or he'd be doing malacha on Shabbos with his own hands, which is davish yisrael asim. If the Jew did it, that would be a biblical yisur. So gazer rabbanim chashechas, the rabbanim made gzera that to do it even before Shabbos, could appear to be like Rashi explained, mishum de michlev b'shluchu, because that could be confused with his agent. It's going to look like he's telling him to do it, which is the malacha of amir la'akim, if it would be a biblical isser, and therefore we said that you're not to do that even before Shabbos, because it looks like that you're doing amir la'akim. But Taisa is qualified, says yes, but all the previous cases we mentioned in the Mishnah, where there's no active malacha being done with someone's hands, so then, yeah, like Gazer, the Gazer was not. He loved the Mechayev Chatas, unless, like we said, it would be a case that one would be liable to Chatas. And that's what it says, Vahein the timer. And that's the reason that Beishamay said, De'ein Nisan Oris La'abdin, you not only give the hides to the town on Erev Shabbos, unless it could be done from before Shabbos. Because since he'd be doing it be a dayim, that's the same idea that you would be Chayev Chatas, and therefore, since it's actively being done, and if the Jew did it, it would be Chayev Chatas, so therefore, even when he's giving it to the non Jew, that's going to be forbidden even on Erev Shabbos. Now, the next taste, the Ramasal says, begins with the words of the Mishnah, a noisen oyus la'abdin, b'shami hold, and I'll give the hide to the tanner on Erev Shabbos. Well, b'sil matin, b'sil say, it's permitted, which please can explain a related halacha, if it's permitted for a non-Jew to build a house for a Jew on Shabbos, if he does it with what's called b'kablonis, in a contractual agreement, which we learn in the Mishnah, b'shami says, and I'll give these hides to the tanner, or to the clothing, to the laundromat, unless he could have done it from before Shabbos, but b'sil says, permitted, as long as it's before the sunset. Now, says Mikan from over here that we learned that Bishol says permitted to give the stuff to the non-Jewish proprietor if it was before Shabbos, even though he's going to be doing it on Shabbos. Nearly Rabbi Natan, it appeared to Rabbi Natan, lahatu ade kablonis, to permit through a contractual agreement, a nachri livnis b'Shabbos, for a non-Jew to build a house for a Jew on Shabbos, which is, kablonis means to say that you pay him a certain amount for building the house. Not every single day for doing work for him. He's working for himself. He has to deliver the house. Now, so therefore, when he builds the house on Shabbos, he's not doing it because the Jew commanded. It's just to do the work quicker. So therefore, you see from our sugya, but he still says, yes, permitted. He could do the laundering or tanning for the Jew on Shabbos. So here too, he can build the house on Shabbos. Boy, maybe Raya, additionally, the Rebbe in time brings a proof, Mirichayim, from the case of the mill, the Shari Basil, the Rebbe Yosef, that Basil permits, according to the interpretation of Rebbe Yosef, the Gemara, he permits the matir lanich shem chitim by yom, to put the wheat into the mill from before Shabbos, v'yinichenu kol Shabbos, and let it go ahead and continue milling the whole Shabbos. So kol shekin kablonis, like they nachim, so the shul, contractual agreement, through non-Jews, the Shari, that's going to be permitted for him to build the house for the Jew on Shabbos, because he's not even doing it for his command. He's doing it because he wants to finish it quicker. And therefore, that's not any worse than the mill, which is grinding the wheat for the Jew on Shabbos. But the Jew's not telling the mill to do it. And therefore, for sure, the non-Jew would be permitted to do it on Shabbos itself. However, Taisa says, Ve'ina raya. It's not a proof. Because the Yadi Kule Alma, everybody knows, Sherechayim Teichnes Miatz. Remember, know the mill is grinds on its own. The Yadi Nami Shechit Nusim Usham Erev Shabbos. And they know that the wheat that's being grinded now was placed there before Shabbos. And therefore, that's why it's permitted. Aval kablanas, but by contractual agreement, they're going to say, people don't know how this non-Jew is being paid, they're going to say, that even if, let's say, he's being paid as a contracted agreement, but they're going to say, but they told him he wants it to be done on Shabbos, because he wants it to be done by a certain date. And therefore, that is a problem, because you're not going to tell the non-Jew to do it on Shabbos, and people are not going to know that, and because of that, there could be that that's going to be forbidden. Void maybe Raya, Rabbi Tam also brings another proof. He brings me safe parakam of the Bidazar at the end of the first paragraph of the Bidazar of Chaval from a base. Domim Shemim Lil, he says, Masker Odom Sadeilu Nachri. Halach is brought over there. Shemim Lil says, person could rent out his field to a non-Jew, even though the non-Jew is going to work the field in Shabbos. My time, what's the reason? Says the Gemara, Aris Arisuse Ka'ovid. The shearcropper, he does his own work, meaning the shearcropper accepts upon himself to work the ground. and he's going to share half or a third of the profits are going to go to him, and the rest goes to the Jewish owner. When he's doing the work for himself because he gets a part of the profits. The Jew's not telling him to do it. Therefore, there's no problem if he's working the field. So therefore, says Rabbi Natan Bachanami Hiro, so he's allowed to build a house for him on Shabbos because Kabbalah Nusei Ka'ovet, he's doing his contractual agreement for himself, which means say the quicker he does, the quicker he could go on to the next job project. But it's nothing to do with the Jew. Now, and even Rabbi Shimon Laza disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Still, says Taisus, says Rabbi Natan, Kaimel and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we will look at Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, this Stamas Nin Kabbasei, as we have an anonymous Mishnah that says like him. Now, so therefore, says Rabbi Natan, you see that the halacha is that you're allowed to have the contractor who you pay him for the job that he could do to build the house for the Jew on Shabbos. Now, we have a Gemara Ma'id Kod Nafid Bezim Anaf that says Mekabli Kibayil is those who are working contractual agreement. But Toichat Chum Asr, if they're working within the halachic Shabbos boundary of 2,000 Amos of the city limits, it's forbidden for him to do it on Shabbos. Chutzal Tchum Mutter, out of the Tchum, it's going to be permitted. But one thing you see that even though it's Bekablonis in the Tchum, it's going to be Asr. So Mukar Rabbein Tam Hasam Kulish Maitis, so Rabbein Tam explains that whole sugya within Ma'id Kod is specifically be'evil by a mourner. Which its laws are more severe, and therefore it says in the Tchum it's going to be Asr. But regarding the halacha of Amir La'akam and Shabbos, with Kablonis, it's going to be Mutr even in the Tchum. But says Taisus, V'loy Nira. No, it does not seem to be correct that we're more stringent by laws of mourning than that of Shabbos. Because the Hasam over there in that Gemara, Ikad Machmir B'Chalamayit, Tvei Mibo'evil, there are those who are more stringent by the laws of Chalamayit, which also you cannot just do any malacha, they're more stringent than the laws of mourning. Now, even the one that's more stringent by mourning than Chol HaMoed, they do agree that Shabbos is more severe than the laws of mourning, and therefore we have a proof to the contrary that if by mourning we hold that you're not doing the Tchum, therefore it would seem not like Rabbi Natan that you cannot do even with a contractual agreement on Shabbos in the Tchum too. Because again, people are going to say it's a problem with Tchum because people can walk there and they can see. Out of Tchum is not a problem because no one's going to see that, and the whole thing problem is like a Marasayan. But in the Tchum, we see that you're not going to have a non-Jew build a house for you in the Tchum. Now, Benir Lari, it appears to the Ri, the Hadashar Bishmaitin Oris La'abdon, this that we go ahead and we say that's permitted for the tanner to do the work on the hides. So, seemingly, Rabbi Tam wants to bring a Raya, like you're allowed to build a house on Shabbos, because you see here the non-Jew doing the work on Shabbos. So, it says the Ri, no, because Hain of Tullish, that's something that's detached from the ground. It's not a public, well-known thing. Because the non-Jew is doing the work in his own house. But people don't know it's the Jews. It's something that he's doing in his own store, in the laundromat. So that's like you're doing it chutz l'tchum. That's why it's permitted. So the Gemara says, it says, if his work is being done by others, so in his own house, you're not allowed to have it done. But in others' houses, you're allowed to have it done. But regarding a contractual agreement, which is the case of Rabbeinu Tam that's attached to the ground, which is in the Jews' property, says the Reed, where that's well known, that's the Jews, no, it's forbidden to be done in the Tchum of the city. Because the one who sees is not going to know that it's done by Kablonis. He's going to say that these are people that are hired, that paid for the day, which is forbidden as Amir La'akim. And therefore, it's actually going to be also not like Rabbeinu Tam said. B'achim Ashim B'Yashami, the Perkin, so too, it sounds like from the Yashami in this parak, that's forbidden for a non-Jew to do malacha with something that's attached to the ground in the Tchum, even B'Kablonis. The Kama Hasan, the Yashami says over there, the Omni Nachrim Shein Oisim Im Yisrael B'Tech Beisei, if non-Jewish professionals are doing a job with a Jew in the Jew's house, us it's forbidden. But Tech Beisei Mutter, in their house, it's permitted. And Amram Shem Allah says, B'med V'mum, when do we say that in the house of the non-Jew is going to be permitted? That's Biki Bailis. That's if it's done with a contractual agreement. Al Maschar also, even in the non-Jew's house, if he's paying him to do the work that day, it's going to be forbidden. Pirish. Schir Yaim, if he's paying him for the day. And moreover, says Yisham B'med V'mum, when do we say B'kablan is going to be mutter? It's betalish, if it's detached from the ground, like a piece of leather to a tan. Of B'mechubar, Aser. But if it's attached to the ground, it's going to be forbidden, even with Kablanis, because again, that looks like it's a Schir Yaim. But in another city, then whether it's detached or even attached, it's going to be permitted because no one's around to see to have this marzain, and you're not telling them to do it today because it is bekablanis. And Amr Bishim Bakan Bishim Reb Acha says b'Shabbos regarding the laws of Shabbos or be'evil and mourning or b'avayd zara, and the Gemara b'avayd zara regarding someone leasing out his field to a non-Jew. Halacha k'Bishim Elazar, halacha v'azak k'Bishim Ben Elazar, who says permitted to do a kablon is something that's detached from the ground, even in the tchum. And if it's attached, out of the tchum. But in the tchum, attached, is going to be forbidden. And says Tais, Rabbeinu Tam himself, who he was purporting to say that it's going to be permitted to have a house built with a non-Jew, even in the tchum, because Shaban is basically when he built his house, loy samach al Shabbos, so he did not rely on his response. He did not want to permit the non-Jew to build his house on Shabbos, even though it was being done by Kablanz. Now, but that's all regarding building a house. Me, however, says Taisa Besada, but regarding working a field, Mutrid is permitted even for the non-Jew to work on Shabbos. Kibshim Lilik, the Gemara brings them by the Zara, which he permitted that to be done. Now, why is this field any different than the house that both of them are attached to the ground? Because the Besada by a field, Regilus lasts by Rises. It's the custom, it's the norm to do it with shear cropping, and not by paying him for the day. And no one's going to say that he's telling him to do it today because everyone knows a sharecropper does it for himself, and there it's going to be permitted in contrast to building a house. Now, Morbis says, when the Jew tells to a non-Jew, Lasakin Minalim, to fix his shoes, or likness, or to buy stuff for him like shoes, don't tell him, do it tomorrow. Which, although we're saying in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, which everyone agrees, let's say something detached from the ground, what he's doing in his own shop, when you're doing the kablanis, so then it's permitted, even though he knows he's going to do it on Shabbos, but you don't tell him to do it tomorrow. Timkain, if that would be the case, then it would be like someone who's being hired to do it that day because he's doing it specifically on Shabbos for you. Rather, you should tell him, to do it as you please, and then even if he does it on Shabbos, he's doing it for his own, not for the Jew. Now, Morbis says, let's say the non-Jew brings him his clothing. The Yudea should keep some Shabbos, and you know that he loaned it on Shabbos. Asala love Shem Shabbos, you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Because the Amal Kaman, because there's two different things. There's an Isser of Amir Lakam, and there's also an Isser of Hana from the Akam. So though, let's say we said it's not an Isser of Amira, because he's going to do it on Shabbos, that's for himself. But if you know he did it on Shabbos for the Jew, then you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos, it's not about Hana from it. Why? Because the Amal Kaman, the Gemara says later on, Kofcha Bezim and Aleph, Nachri Shehidlik Ner Bishmil Yisrael, even though the Jew didn't tell him anything. There's no Isser of Amir Lakam. But if the non-Jew lit the candle for a Jew, Asla Shamash Lari, not have benefit from the light, and therefore there would still be the Isser of Hana from an Akim, so therefore, if you know he did on Shabbos, even though he didn't do Isra Amira, you now have benefit from it on Shabbos.